You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
Good morning, New Vision. I'm not George. No. my name's Trevor. I handle a lot of the media and stuff. And since today we're celebrating Stacy and her years of service, we thought it might be kind of a nice token for me to get up and speak after all of our years of service together. I was putting that video together and I was like going through all these old memories, and I know that was a weird song for it, but that's because like that's how Stacy is. She's like when we had a wave team in Stockbridge, she was asking for us to do a Skillet song like every week. And you also, like, she said she was diving. You don't realize that she's planning on diving with sharks. It's crazy. But I'm jealous, but I don't want to put the time in for it. But she's trying to get me in there to, like, take pictures or something. But we did a VBS one time, and we had a shark video playing. And I gave her two options of which ones to do. And one was this, like, nice educational, like, nice background music one. She picked the one that had Evanescence playing in the background. And it was like this hard rock, and it was just sharks swimming by, and everyone in the room was just confused. Like, what are we doing? Because, like, we talked it up as, like, an educational moment. And so I felt like that's kind of how we had to have our slideshow today. I was like, there's something playing. So I normally get up here and speak, and I normally always, like, make some kind of, like, complaint about, like, being unprepared or, like, not having enough time. And I told myself I was not going to do that today. And I'm not doing it, but I will say this was, like, the shortest amount of prep time. And I'm not saying it. I'm only saying that because with celebrating Stacy today, I want to point out that it's a very fitting for this to be a short amount of time with this, because I don't think me and her have ever done an event where we were fully prepared for it. I don't think we had a single event where we weren't doing something last minute, and we would be working on something, and it would be like countdown to starting, and we'd be putting like the last little bit of glue on, and we'd be like counting it down, and we were just like to the wire. New Vision's got some crazy volunteers. Stockbridge had crazy volunteers. We used to serve together over there, and we would often VBS meetups. We would work past midnight at the church. We would take a break. We would go to Quick Trip and get a frozen cappuccino in a big Q cup, so it would be like as big as our faces. And we would like just chug those down, and then we would just like start gluing and coloring. Children's ministry is important, because this is part of it, is that think about where you are today. If who you are today is because of the way you grew up and a like inspiration or the way someone taught you or helped raise you, if that's the reason you are who you are today, then you owe it to the next generation to be involved in children's ministry. If who you are today is not because of who you had as a kid, then you owe it to be that person for someone in children's ministry. So it's the perfect ultimatum. Like, so when we're asking for volunteers, I don't think we're doing a volunteer push today, but I just decided to. I just felt like this was the time. Well, there's a vacancy now, so we could... I'm kidding. But so children's ministry is important. And I wanted us to reflect on when we were kids. And I want us to think about how we were all kids at one point. We just finished this series on Acts, and it was great. And now we're moving into this hostage series. And so in between the two, we're going to go really kid-friendly, we're going to go really childish, and we're going to look at childlike faith. And I want to remind you that you used to be a kid too. You used to be a kid too. And I think sometimes we forget that. And I know some of you used to be a kid a lot longer ago than some of others used to be a kid, right? And I want you to think back to that, and I want you to think about what that means today, and I want you to think about what that means when we say childlike faith. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." Now that sounds a little bit different, because when we're talking about childlike faith, we're not talking about the whining and the crying, and we're talking about these things. The Bible's telling us, like, look, no, you need to be mature, you need to grow up, you need to grow. But Matthew 18:3 tells us, I tell you the truth, unless you change and be going against each other. But the reality is, there is a difference between childlike faith. I want to go back to that verse and give you some, like, notion of kind of what it was about. So if you look in other scripture, there's a whole story of right before Jesus tells the disciples that, the disciples are arguing about who is the greatest. So they've had a long journey, they've been, like, walking on the road, they have, like, they are tired of singing Wheels on the Bus, and so they go on to the next thing, and the next thing is deciding who is the greatest. And we as people do this a lot, right? We talk about, like, who is the greatest basketball player? Who is the greatest football player? Who's the greatest quarterback? And imagine you're in this moment, you're having this discussion, George is arguing that it's Tom Brady, that he's the greatest, and Jesus instead answers, no, it's little Jimmy over here. And you're like, what? Like, this is a child. And the reason behind this is that during this time, children are kind of viewed as property. They're neither seen nor heard. They're kind of the lowest it can be. And so when God is comparing us to them, saying this is what we need to be, this is meaning that we need to be humble. We need to have some humility. But the translation actually goes a little bit further. The word that's being used is actually saying little child. So we're not talking about, like, some big kid. And I feel like kids are, like looking older and older now to me. Like, we did a summer camp this year, and I felt like I was a camper. Like, some of the kids were, like, taller than me. They looked old, you know? And I was like, what is going on? What is in the water? But we're not talking about those kids. We're talking about, like, a tiny child who, he's right here in the midst of this crowd. He probably doesn't have his tunic on right. He's got, like, some sauce stuck on him. He's just, like, a mess. He's helpless. And that's what childlike faith is about. Childlike faith is not about being childish. It's about remembering that you are helpless. It's about remembering that you need humility, that you need to be humble. You used to be a kid too. We're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about three kind of aspects of a thing you used to do as you were a kid and how we can relate this to our faith of today. And one of those is that you used to be a kid with questions. Now, a lot of times I've seen people point to the scripture and they kind of use it as an argument to be like, look, the Bible says that you have to be a kid. You have to check your brain at the door if you want to follow God. And that's not true, because I don't know about you, but I feel like most kids ask the most amount of questions than anybody, right? Kids aren't just always believing everything you say. You tell them to put a coat on, they say, why? You say, because it's cold. They say, why? You say, because it's winter. They say, why? You say, well, because the earth rotates around the sun. They say, why? You say, well, we're at an angle, and that means the southern hemisphere is closest to the sun, which means it's winter here. And they say, why? And you say, God made it that way. And you say, why? And you said, I don't know. I told you so. Kids ask questions, right? You used to be a kid with questions, and having the faith of a child doesn't mean never asking questions. It doesn't mean never having doubts, but it means giving those doubts, giving those concerns to the correct person. It means giving those concerns to God. Now, we want you to trust in God. We want you to believe in Him and have a whole heart and just know that He is good. But when you're a kid and you kind of have questions about things, you go to your parents and you ask them. You're always seeking understanding because you're still learning. You're still trying to understand the world. You don't know that much, and so you ask the people that know more than you. And now that we're adults, we're supposed to be the people that know the most, right? We're supposed to know more. And so when we have our doubts and concerns, we forget that we have someone that knows even more than us. We forget that we have a God who is willing to accept all of our doubts and concerns, and is able to walk us through what faith in Him means. Jeremiah 33:2-3 says, this is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What I like about this verse is that before it tells us about calling to Him and asking Him and all of these things, it points out who we're talking about, that we're not talking about just the Lord. We're talking about the Lord who formed the earth. We're reminding this is where you came from. It's like a parent who's going to a child and it's like, look, you're coming to me and asking me things. I'm going to help you and I'm going to remind you that I am helping you because I helped make you. Ask your mom than you do dad. Or maybe you're trying to get out of something and so you're like, okay, well, sorry, my mom said no, I can't go. Maybe you didn't even ask her. But sometimes you know who to ask. And sometimes you don't get the answer you're looking for. And so we can go to God, we can ask him questions, and he is going to give us an answer. And sometimes that answer is not going to be quite what we want. And the reason for that, though, is that the answer we want is according to our own plan. It's because we think we know what's best for us, but we don't. And so we don't get the answer that we think we deserve. And God's saying, look, I know the plan I have for you. I know what's best for you. And this is the plan that I have. This is the answer that I'm giving. Just like a parent, when a parent's telling you no and you're just mad, you're like, man, you just won't let me do this. And it's like, well, maybe because what you're asking to do is dangerous. Maybe that person knows a little bit more. Maybe that person knows better. And that's what God's trying to come through to us. You used to ask honest questions, but now you're just afraid of what people think. I remember I grew up always hearing, like, there's no such thing as a dumb question. And the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Then I went to college, and I kind of doubted that. Heard a lot of dumb questions. But it's reassuring sometimes when you're with a group and you hear someone ask like the same question that you were debating if you should ask, and you're like, oh man, like I'm so glad they asked that. And that happens too with kids. Like, you know, when you're back there with Kid Nation, sometimes like a kid's gonna ask an off-the-wall question that as an adult you never would have been caught asking that. But it's because they're seeking understanding, they're seeking to learn, they're seeking to know. And so we need to get to this point to where with our childlike faith, we're willing to go to God with anything. There, we're willing to go to him and give him everything that we're offering, everything that we're asking, everything that we're doubting. You used to be afraid of asking questions, or you used to ask honest questions, and now you're too afraid to do it. Matthew 7, 9 through 12, this is the rest of that verse we read earlier. And Jesus is saying, look, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. I like that midway through this, he's like, reminder, you're evil. Reminder, you're a little messed up. You're a little sinful. And so, you know, we're saying, like, look, as a child, when a child's coming to you and asking you for these things, even though you are screwed up, even though you're messed up, you're sinned, you've got all of these hang-ups and insecurities, you've got all of these problems, even though you have all of that, you still know better to give your kids what they're asking. You know better to give them what will help them, what they need. You're not giving them a snake. You're not giving them a stone. You know more. And God's saying, look, imagine if that's how you are. Imagine how good of a gift I can give. Imagine when you come to me trying to be, remember, like being like a little kid, coming to God, God knows better. One of the other things we used to be as a kid is we used to be curious. And now we're sometimes too busy to look up. I think about this a lot, and I was listening to a podcast the other day with Bob Goff, which, like, we've done a study of his here at the church, and you know, all of his books always have balloons in them, right? And it's always a cheerful thing. And in this podcast, he was talking about how sometimes he likes to just take a break and go lay down and just, like, look at the clouds. And he's talking about how this was kind of a reset to him, that like when life gets heavy, he kind of reverts back to being a kid and he just looks up, and looking up, he just remembers everything God has created. Because God's speaking to us through it all, and God has this wonderful creation, and he's out there, and he's just like, look at what he's done. And it reminds him all the things that God has done in his life. And thinking of balloons, it makes me think back to another Stacy story, which we had at a previous church. We once had these big balloons that were fish and sharks, and you put a little motor on it so you could control it, and it would fly around. They were huge, and they took a lot of helium. And we were blowing up the first one, and we're filling it up. We finally got it completely full, and I like went to grab something, and the person that was supposed to be holding it let go. And it just floated, and it was stuck for like 3 months in the ceiling. And not only was it stuck up there, so people noticed it at first, but because people don't look up as much, people just forgot about it. You just, like, you didn't look up and pay attention until one fateful Sunday, enough helium had leaked out of this balloon, and it slowly crept down, and it stopped right in front of the cross. So there was a cross on stage, and right center of the crucifix is, like, this shark. And or actually, it might have been a Nemo fish. It was a clownfish, which is probably even funnier. And it just stopped right dead center. And we finally were able to get it down then. But you're not looking up anymore. And so people weren't noticing this thing stuck up there until it finally came down and it came into our level. And so I think oftentimes we are stuck just looking at our level. We're stuck at looking at this plane that we're living on, and we're not spending any time looking up at our Father. We're not spending any time looking up to God, and that's something that we've got to do. Another thing about how a kid used to ask questions is that in the gospel, Jesus asks many more questions than he answers. He actually asks 307 questions in the Bible, and we ask him 183. We ask God 183, and he actually asks us 307. And I like to picture that a lot of this is like Jesus just trying to walk us through how to be faithful and how to love him. Because I think about like when a parent is with a child and you give the kid something, and the parent, what does the parent do? They say, "What do you say?" You know, that's a question. They're not saying like, "Hey, tell them thank you." They're like, "No, what do you say?" And the kid's like, "Oh yeah, that's right. I say thank you." You know, hopefully. And I feel like this is the kind of picture that we're painting here, that Jesus is here and he's telling us a lot of great things. He's walking us through life, but he's also asking us stuff that he's like, look, you should know this. Let me ask you this question. Let me help you learn and help figure out who I am. Learn more about me and get closer to me. You used to be a kid. You used to be a kid with fears. Now, a lot of us are still afraid of things, but the fears we have now are a lot different than the fears we had as a kid, right? You might still be afraid of the dark. I don't know. I know there's someone in my house afraid of spiders. Some of you might be there. Any moment, I can hear like a bloody shriek, and I think the neighbors think I might have done something horrible, but it's just a spider in the other room. But when I was a kid, I was afraid of, I had a clock that when it turned midnight, all of the front-facing part of the clock would rotate, and it would be a different clock, but it would play something when it happened. And something about it just like gave me like nightmares about like a bomb ticking. It was just horrible. And then I had like something else that would just like chime randomly, and it would, you know, it would make this loud noise, and you would turn it off, and then in the middle of the night, it would go off again, you know, and it was like, what's going on over there? And I think that was a clock, too. Maybe I'm just scared of clocks. I don't know. But, you know, I used to be scared of that stuff. I'm not scared of that stuff now, you know. I'm scared of running out of time on the things that I want to do in life, but I'm not scared of a clock. I'm not scared of, like, a weird noise in the night. And maybe you've replaced your fears, like maybe you were afraid of different things and now you have all of these fears of anxiety and stress and supporting your family and your lifelong goals, and you have all of these different fears. But the problem is you're putting your fears in a different place now than you did as a kid. You used to be afraid of the dark, but now you're afraid of the bigger issues. When you were a kid and you were scared of something, where did you go? To your parents. And just think about this, like, if like my dream was correct, if I truly had like this big like monster demon under the bed, I don't know what my parents would have done. Like, I don't know if they would have helped much with that. Like, I don't know who could. But I had a relationship with my parents. I trusted them. I knew that I was helpless, and that's who I ran to. It didn't matter if they could do something or not. What mattered is I ran to them because I knew I could do nothing. And that's what childlike faith is about. Childlike faith is about remembering that you're helpless and about having this relationship with God that when things are going wrong, that's who you're running to. You used to run to your parents, but maybe now you're just running to social media. Maybe now you're just running to just drugs and alcohol. Maybe now you're just running to a friend that's going to give you advice, but maybe you go through all the friends until you get the advice that you actually want to hear, not need to hear. You do all of these things, and yet when you were a kid, you used to just run to your parents and find safety in them because you believed they could handle it all. And that's what we're asking for today, is going after and chasing after God because he is the one that can do it all. Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine." This is another time that before it even gets to the part that we're wanting to hear, before it even gets to the part of telling us not to fear, it's reminding us who created us. It's reminding us, look, before I tell you don't be afraid, I want to remind you that this is what the Lord says, not just the Lord, but the Lord who formed you, the Lord who created you, the Lord who has been here from the very beginning, who knows you. This is who I'm telling you not to be afraid. This is who I'm telling you to run to because I have already summoned you and you are mine. You can find safety in me. You used to find peace with your family, but now you just want to handle it all on your own. I try to be a pretty independent person, and I always like try to just like, just let me do it myself. Sometimes that's difficult when you're like doing big projects and kids ministry, like we've been talking about today, is like, you know, you're like doing this like nice design and someone else finishes the last part, and you want to make sure everyone knows this is the part that I did. Someone else did this part. But you think you can handle it on your own, but you need some help. You need some help. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Now, a lot of times, I don't know how it just keeps working out, that a lot of times when I speak, it ends up being like when we're in a series about, you know, different things. And a lot of times my talk ends up being something related to like stress or anxiety or different things like that. And so this verse here, I think, has made it in almost like every talk I've done here. And I just had to like find a way to fit it in today. You know, we're not even talking about this really. We're talking about childlike faith, and yet the reason why we have to point this out is because as you do grow older and you start to get these anxieties, you start to have problems. See, when you're a kid, everything's nice and peachy, right? Everything's smooth sailing. And then as you get older, more things get involved. You start learning new things. You start having more trouble. And then we need the reminder to cast all your anxiety on him. And I like the word cast because it's not just like throw it to the side. It's not just like drop it. It's like cast it, you know? We're talking like a group of fishermen during this time. They know what this means. They know that, especially because they're mostly fishing with nets too, not rods. When it's a net, you're not just like throwing something. You are bundling up everything you can and you are just chucking it as far as you can go. You're bundling up all of this anxiety, all of this stress, all of these issues that you're dealing with, and you are just throwing it to God. You are just getting it as far away from you as you can. You used to be a kid, and you used to be a kid with questions and fears. Having the faith of a child doesn't mean never being afraid, but it means letting someone else handle it. Having the faith of a child doesn't mean you're not going to be afraid of something. Kids are afraid of stuff every day. Adults are afraid of stuff every day. The biggest part of this is realizing that you can't do it on your own, that you can't handle it. It means letting someone else do it, letting that be God. You used to be a kid. You also used to be a kid that trusted. And now I say this, like, kids are trusting. Of course, like, there are outliers, you know, and there are kids that get nervous about people and different things like this. And I also want to say here, too, that all these examples I give, you know, you might not have had, like, a perfect childhood. But at one point, maybe it was good. And as you get older and more things happen, you get disappointed about different things, that kind of changes your outlook. And I want us to reflect back to a nice childhood, right? I want us to reflect back to before someone wrongs us, before someone breaks our trust. I want us to focus on being a kid that's just living. That's not only just living, but also has parents that love them, that care for them, that you know that you can trust. And you used to trust who you knew the most, but now you don't trust God. See, the thing about trust is all about a relationship. See, it's really hard to trust a person you don't know, right? Like, would you just go outside randomly in the street and just, like, trust fall in the middle of Walmart? You know, like, it's not going to end well, you know? You have to have a relationship. And so as a kid, when you're growing up and you're building a relationship, the very first relationship you have is with your parents. You know, they're there from the very beginning. So that's the very first one you have, and because you know them, you trust them. And so our problem with our trust with God is because we don't know him. Our problem with our trust with God is because we don't have that relationship. It's been a little broken. And maybe it's been broken because God didn't show up in a way you thought he was going to show up, but it's because he showed up according to his plan and not yours. And maybe you took that a little too personally. Maybe you took it a different way, and maybe now you've kind of like lost some trust, lost some respect. But the thing is, we have to mend that relationship because it's the most important one we can have. If God is at our center, if God is the most important one we have, we can have that trust with him because of that relationship. Psalms 44 says, "How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood." See, sometimes those relationships you have are with the wrong person, so you trust the wrong person. And sometimes, you know, you start, you know, getting set in your ways, or you start learning about what you think and how you think you know everything, and maybe you start putting your trust into everything that proves that stuff correct. You start putting your trust in the things that prove yourself. You start putting your trust in your politics. You start putting your trust in all of your other beliefs, but the one thing you're not doing is putting your trust in the Lord. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man who does that." And maybe at one point you did used to trust God. Maybe as a kid you trusted him more than anything else, but now you just focus on the struggles. You just focus on the things that have gone bad at one point in your life, and you just focus on the issues you have, and you say, "Well, God's not answering my prayer. God's not doing this. God's not doing that." You're focusing on all of these struggles, and you're forgetting about everything God has given you. You're forgetting about this salvation that you have, this walk that he's given you. You're forgetting about life on its own, the fact that you're living and breathing, and the only sole purpose we have here is to glorify his name. It's the only thing. Psalms 118:8 says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." See, when you're a kid and you're needing refuge, you're going to your parents, you're going to the people that you trust the most, the people that you think that can take care of you. And so now as an adult, you have to take refuge in the Lord. You can't just take refuge and trust in man, because man is going to let you down, because we're all broken. We all make mistakes, and those mistakes impact our lives. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. You used to not know what was best, but now you think you do. I know all of these are kind of the same, but they're all just kind of playing off of each other, because this is one of the things you used to think. You used to just like not know any better because you just didn't understand. When you didn't know about taxes, you asked someone and learned about it. When you didn't know about driving, you learned how to drive. When you didn't know about all of these things, you figured out a way to learn them. You figured out a way to understand them. Back then, you didn't know what was best until you kind of figured out what was wrong. Then you learned what was best, and now, as you've been learning this, now that's just all that you think you know. You think you know what's best for you. And that's why when we give our prayers to God, sometimes we're so specific that we're asking God for a certain thing, and God's like, I don't know what you're praying that for. That's not part of the plan. You're not praying for my will. You're not praying for me to show up in this moment. You're praying for this specifically. That's not what we're doing here. And so we need to get to this point where we remember once again that we are helpless and that we don't know what is best. Psalms 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says not only trust in the Lord with all your heart, but it's saying, look, in case you didn't get the first part, let me tell you what not to do. I told you to trust. Let me also tell you to not trust yourself, to not lean on your own understanding, because we are human. And when we start listening to ourselves more than we listen to our God, we're going to get it wrong every time. When we start listening to ourselves more and more, and we start pretending that we know it, and we start listening to what we think we know is true, we're going to forget about him. See, it's a lot easier. Sometimes it's a lot easier to follow God when things are going wrong, when things are going right. Because sometimes when things are going wrong, you get to that point to where you've tried out everything else in your life. You've tried out all your other mistakes, all your other things, and all that's left is to just trust in God. And so you do that, and God helps walk you through this problem. We don't go to him first. But when things are going right and things are going good, and if we're behaving like that, we're not going to God at all. When things are going perfect and we think we have it all together, there's no reason to go to a God who's only there when we mess up and need him. The Bible's saying, look, you've got to trust in him completely. And completely doesn't mean just when things are going bad. It completely means all the time. Even when things are going perfectly, that you need to learn to not lean on your own understanding. That you need to learn to acknowledge him, because he will make your paths straight. And when we say making our paths straight, we're not talking about just like one stretch that's straight, and then we turn, and then we go off on our own, and then we get back on his course. No, the whole way. The whole way is a journey of faith, and the whole way is a time with God that we are putting our trust and faith in him. All this is to say is that having the faith of a child doesn't mean blindly trusting, but it means spending so much time with the Lord that you recognize him and trust him more. Trust comes from a relationship, and so if you're going to be a kid, again, if you're going to have childlike faith, it doesn't mean that you're just going to trust him and just let it go. It means that you are going to have a relationship with God. You're going to recognize him, because you're going to spend so much time with him that you can tell, look, this thing that's happening in my life, I know that that's God. I know that this is him. And when you know that it's him, you can trust him even more. You used to be a kid. Childlike faith is not the same as childish faith. Childlike faith is not the same as childish faith. Sometimes we spend too much time in our faith just whining about what's going wrong. We spend too much time in our faith just having doubts, or just like, you know, crying about what's happening. Or sometimes we're going to God and we're only asking him for things and we're never praising his name. I'm guilty of that. sometimes childlike faith is about being a kid again, being humble, and following him. The band can go ahead and start coming up as we get ready to close, because with a children's message, it's got to be short and sweet, right? Attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. Adults, too. We're all guilty of it. And so I just want to get across this one major thing. Well, a few major things. But one is that childlike faith requires humility and requires vulnerability. See, when you're a kid, you're super vulnerable. You don't know how to fight. You're just picking up dirt. You don't really have any money to your name. You don't really have any accolades. You don't have any of this stuff. You got to be humble. You got to be at the lowliest of low. Childlike faith is about a servant's heart. Childlike faith is about being vulnerable and admitting, look, God, I am helpless. I can't do it on my own. I know I need you. Childlike faith requires that we admit our helplessness. So I want you to spend some time today, and I want you to think about this. I want you to go to God, and I want you to tell him, like, look, God, I am helpless. Even when I don't think I am, even when I think I've got it all together, and maybe you think you got it all together because you have a God, and that's great, I want you to remember that you cannot do it on your own. Childlike faith requires that we run to God. Everyone right now has been singing the song again, running up that hill, right? Are you running up to God? Are you running into him and knowing that that is where your safety is? Just like you used to run to your parents. Didn't matter if they could help or not. You still went to them because you trusted them and you knew that you couldn't do it without their help. We can't do anything without our God. We have to run to him. Childlike faith requires growth, trust, and the heart of a child. It requires us to have a big heart, and you know, sometimes kids can be selfish. I understand that. But I've also been in places where I have seen, we've fed the hungry in Nicaragua at times, and I have seen where they were given only one bowl of soup that day, and I've seen a kid share his bowl with someone else. I've seen kids have a servant's heart and know that they're here for one another. It's not until we get older and we start getting wronged and start looking out for me, me, me. We have to get to the point where we were once kids and we know that we can have a servant's heart. We can forget about being wronged and being sinned against, and we can forgive them, we can love them, and we can grow. We're not wanting to be a kid forever. The Bible's saying, I put away the childish things. I grew up. We can't have a childish faith. We have to grow closer to God. We have to learn more about him. We have to trust him. We have to give our concerns to him. You used to be a kid too. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for bringing us together, God. I just pray that we can grow our faith to a faith that deserves you. I pray that we can grow our faith to the point to where we are loving you and we are trusting you and we are having that relationship with you, God. Remind us that we were once kids, that were helpless and needed us, needed you, God. I pray that we can become that again. That we can admit, God, I'm helpless, I'm humbled, and I'm giving my concerns to you, and I'm asking you to walk me through it all, to love me, to guide me, and to show me your path. I used to be a kid too, and you've been here the whole time. In your name I pray, amen.